program, we're going to be speaking with Juan Gonzalez. He is a columnist for the Daily News, and until this morning, he was the co-host of Democracy Now!, but he has temporarily, I hope, quit that position to fight the power at Pacifica, saying the board there are more like modern-day corporate vultures, have more in common with modern-day corporate vultures than with the working class of America. Stay with us.
Eres toda una mujer y ya es tiempo de vencer al que tanto te ha oprimido. Históricamente has sido de los más exaltares de esta patria y fundamentales. Que los vamos a quitar porque es tiempo de frenar.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on KPFA. We first go to a clip of tape, which is Juan Gonzalez on Democracy Now! This morning in a surprise announcement, announcing that he is leaving Democracy Now! And giving us the reasons. We want you to pay very close attention, because truly what happens at one station happens at all of our stations. Pacifica is in jeopardy, and we must all gather together to fight the power.
And you're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman, here with Juan Gonzalez.
Good day, Amy, and to our listeners around the country. And Amy, do you realize the anniversary that we're approaching in the next few days? It will be 5 years since Democracy Now! Came on the air, since you and I started working in February of 1996 to produce the first of these shows. And I have an important announcement for folks, and I'd like to urge all of our loyal listeners to Democracy Now! And to Pacifica across the country to get a pencil and paper, because I've got some important information that has to deal with both the anniversary of Democracy Now! As well as the upcoming fund drive of Pacifica. I want to give you some numbers. First, there's a phone number that you need to write down. It's 212-871-9322. That's 212-871-9322. And then there's an email address that I want you all to take down. That is PacificaCampaign@yahoo.com. Again, that's PacificaCampaign@yahoo.com. Now, Amy, you know, we've been working together for 5 years now, and I have to tell you, it's since the show's inception, I've been very proud of the groundbreaking work that we've done on Democracy Now! And also, more importantly, as a longtime listener for more than 30 years to Pacifica radio programs, I understand the critical role the network has played in reporting important stories the corporate media ignored, and thus helping to shape a lot of the progressive thought and popular movements in the country. But unfortunately, I am resigning today, effective immediately, from Democracy Now! Because I've decided that the current management situation at Pacifica has become intolerable. And despite my hope that the majority of the Pacifica Foundation's board of directors would come to its senses, the situation has only gotten worse, the last straw being the Christmas coup at this station, WBAI, last month. Quite simply, I've come to the conclusion that the Pacifica board has been hijacked by a small clique that has more in common with modern-day corporate vultures than with working-class America. That clique has illegally changed the foundation's bylaws, and during the past 2 years, it has methodically sought to squash dissent throughout the network, first at KPFA, then at PNN News, then at Democracy Now!, and now at WBAI. This group does not respect free speech. It does not respect labor or civil rights. It doesn't even practice due process for its own managers. And it's now seeking to radically alter Pacifica's bylaws to pave the way for the selling of one or more stations. Finally, Amy, I've got to tell you that the consistent attacks on you the most important public face at Pacifica, has so poisoned the atmosphere at the network that it's becoming increasingly difficult for many people of conscience to continue working here. Amy, you're a wonderful and committed journalist, and you've been subjected to slanderous personal accusations and constant undermining of your efforts. And the board of Pacifica has tolerated and I think even encouraged this, and it's hypocritical of the board to continue to claim in its tape statements that it fully supports Amy Goodman when team managers routinely make your life miserable. This click on the board insults Pacifica's loyal and sophisticated listeners by asking them to finance its shenanigans with their donations. Therefore, starting today, I will be joining other Pacifica listeners in a national corporate campaign that will not rest until every board member who has orchestrated this hijacking resigns and a new board is in place, a board that is democratically accountable to the network's listeners, to the communities of the stations of Pacifica, and to its staff. Our campaign is calling for listeners across the country to withhold donations to Pacifica in a mass referendum against the board's policies. Instead, we will be urging the listeners to contribute their money to a variety of groups around the country that are battling the Pacifica board, including the Legal Fund for Court Suits, which are currently challenging the board's legitimacy. Mr. Murdoch, Mr. Acosta, Mr. Palmer, and the other click on the board will soon find out that Pacifica is listener-sponsored community radio, and I'm...
Well, that was an excerpt of this morning's Democracy Now!, Juan Gonzalez, Daily News columnist, terrific writer, radio producer, co-host, resigned. Juan Gonzalez, I want to welcome you to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis, and it's an honor to be on your show.
Well, Juan, I want to talk to you more about some of the things you said, but I'd like to begin, if we could, hearken back to the early days of your political career. And could you tell us when you first heard WBAI, a free speech radio station, and what that meant to your early development?
Well, I first heard WBAI in the mid-1960s when I was a college student at Columbia College and got very involved in the student movement at Columbia. I was active in the 1968 student strike at Columbia against the Vietnam War and the racism of Columbia University toward the Harlem community in which it is set. And subsequently, when I left Columbia, because that was my senior year in 68, and began to join with other Puerto Rican activists in East Harlem to found a group called the Young Lords, WBAI was actually the first media organization that recognized our group and the importance of our group in terms of awakening consciousness in the Puerto Rican community, and they actually offered us a weekly radio show, which was called Palante, and several of the members of our group once a week would produce a half-hour show where we began to raise the issues of the Puerto Rican community, the problems that the Puerto Rican minority here, as well as those in the colony in Puerto Rico, were facing. And actually, it was in a very important way for our community to link up and understand what was going on in other communities, as well as for people to hear the problems that Puerto Ricans were confronting in New York City. So it was a very important WBAI played a very important role in our disseminating our information and perspectives, as well as hearing from others in the call-ins that came in. So that was back, I'd say, I think the Palante show started in late 1969, and of course over the years, as I said in my statement, I've been a listener to especially WBAI, but at different times as I've traveled around the country to the other Pacifica stations, and so I really do appreciate and understand the enormous role that the Pacifica stations have played in helping to shape consciousness in America, and that's why when I hear some of the statements of this current board And these people who talk about Pacifica as being insignificant or irrelevant or out of touch with the times, I've met these people on this board. I had an opportunity to address them last year. I've also had meetings when I was in Houston once at a National Association of Hispanic Journalists event. Mr. Palmer, Mr. Acosta, the board members from Houston, asked me to have breakfast with them so that they could get to meet me, and I got to meet and talk with them. And I have to tell you, I do not understand how these folks ever got on the Pacifica board, because they have no roots in the movements that helped to nurture and give rise to Pacifica. They have no appreciation of the movements and the struggles that people in this country have waged for social justice. And they have no commitment to that movement. So I don't understand how they got on the board, but that happened long before I was conscious of the inner workings of Pacifica politics. And but I somehow expected that reason would somehow prevail. When I reached the conclusion that it would not, and that they were definitely going to attempt to recreate Pacifica in the image of what they wanted, not what the listeners need, and what the listeners have come to expect, I felt it was time that I took off my journalist hat for a while and see what I can do to assist those who have been struggling for years and have been struggling for so long. There were voices in the wilderness predicting what was happening at the Pacifica board. And of course, your struggle in Berkeley really was sort of the clarion call across the country about what was happening. But now it's, as I said in my statements, happening methodically one by one throughout all the units of Pacifica. And if it's not stopped, they will destroy this network.
I have to tell you, Juan Gonzalez, that when I was being arrested here by one of the thugs that they sent in from Houston, and I was sort of sitting down to stand up for Free Speech Radio, I was thinking about all the different things that Pacifica meant to me. And as you probably know, I began my relationship with Pacifica in New York City. And your recounting of the Young Lords coverage, I was sitting with my ear right up against a little transistor radio getting a political education. I remember that's one of the things that I couldn't forget as I sat there. And then the other thing was being with children in the South Bronx who lived right underneath the apartment of Eleanor Bumpers, teaching those children media, those children coming to me the day after, hearing the shots, writing about it, and then taking those kids to WBAI in New York so that they could express themselves instead of having this experience shoved back down their throats to manifest in some other terrible way. That was on my mind in this battle. And I have to tell you, when I was listening to you this morning and hearing this surprise announcement that you would be quitting for the time being to fight the power, I just... You know, it was chills, I was troubled, but I was also inspired to know that you would take an action like this. And I want to just ask you, Juan, about some of the things you said. You said at one point that the board was hijacked by people who have more in common with modern-day corporate vultures than with working-class America. Do you say that? Is that hyperbolic? Is that sort of an overstatement, or do you really mean that?
You know, I thought about it before I said it, and I think that I do not think that is an exaggeration. Certainly not all the members of the board, but there has certainly accumulated on the board now a group of individuals who really, it's not just that they have jobs in corporate America. I mean, I've been a professional journalist working in corporate media now for 25 years, and just the fact that you hold a job in a particular company does not mean that you are therefore you're somehow damned. But I think that the reality is that what they are trying to do in terms of the changes, the previous changes in the bylaws and the current proposed changes, I have read Mr. Murdoch's current proposal. propose changes. And I'm flabbergasted. As a person who has worked off and on many nonprofit organizations, the degree of time spent in those bylaws, the amount of paragraphs devoted to what the board can and can't do in terms of its own financial conflicts or what they call interested parties clearly indicates to me that these are bylaws that are being written to allow financial transactions to occur in the future in which board members will have a part, either an equity stake or contracts. And it's spelled out in the proposed bylaws. I was amazed. So I think that that when I say that Murdoch and Bertram Lee and some of these other people have a history of being involved in both anti-union or union busting operations in the case of the Epstein-Becker firm, which has a notorious reputation in the American labor movement. And I've dealt with some major union busting firms. When we were on strike at the Daily News 10 years ago, we came up against the biggest, King and Baloo, and we were able to defeat them, the workers at the Daily News. But Epstein-Becker is right up there as a union busting firm. The idea that Pacifica would have on its board an associate in a major union busting firm and then hire that firm to represent it is astounding. And Bertram Lee, who's got a very bad reputation. In fact, Congressman Major Owens at a meeting of political leaders here in New York told people there, "Oh, Bertram Lee, if he's involved, you know there's money there for him somewhere." So that these are the kinds of people who are playing major roles on the Pacifica board right now and shaping its future. And it's not just that they don't come out of the progressive movement. They don't care about the progressive movement in this country. So what are they doing on the board? And why are they stamping out dissent and eliminating or forcing out people who disagree with the direction they're taking Pacifica in? I mean, Verna Avery Brown has given eloquent statements about why she was forced to leave Pacifica from the PNN News, they've been doing it one by one in the different units of the network.
Now, Juan, we did call before airtime several calls to Bessie Wash. She is the executive director in Pacifica. We understood, we found out that she was in fact in Los Angeles. Apparently, she was doing something that we were told. That she was at the bank. We understand that Pacifica has now consolidated the financial office, which was in Los Angeles, in Washington. They took the national office last year. They left here in the middle of the night and moved that to Washington, D.C. Apparently, they are consolidating. We put in calls to Bessie Wash because we wanted to get her reaction, her response to your action and to what's been going on at Pacifica. She did not return our phone calls, but you may know that on WBAI, Jose Santiago, the news director there, did a story on your leaving Democracy Now!, and he said during that story that he spoke with Steve Yasko. He is the he's the national program director of Pacifica Now!, and Mr. I want you to hear how it was summed up. He wouldn't go on tape, as none of these people apparently are willing to do. But here's Jose Santiago summing up what Mr. Yasko said, and then I want to ask you to respond to it. Okay, here, let's just listen very briefly.
In response to Juan Gonzalez's resignation, Pacifica National Programming Director Steve Yasko, while he would not comment on tape, he told WBAI News that Pacifica leadership was caught by surprise by the announcement. He said they did not know it was coming and that they regret they did not know about Gonzalez's deep-seated feelings about the issue. Steve Yasko said that the Pacifica National office wishes Juan Gonzalez well in his future endeavors. And this personal note, the call for you, our listeners, to withhold your donations to WBAI, obviously is a troubling one for many of our staff members. If you've been listening, you know that there are many of us who, regardless of how we might feel about Pacifica's actions, are continuing to work and are committed to keeping WBAI alive. Our fundraising drive gets underway February 14. We'll be here.
And that was an excerpt of the broadcast. Apparently, while there is a very strong gag order in place, they saw fit to do some coverage of the story. Would you comment, first of all, on the fact that they said that they didn't have any idea about your deep-seated feelings regarding what was going on at Pacifica?
Well, I think that that is patently false. Last summer, right after the Democratic and Republican conventions, I wrote a long memo to Bessie Wash and to Garland Ganter, who was then the acting it was to Steve Yasko, because Garland had just left and Yasko had taken over, where I detailed my problems with how Pacifica, I thought, was unfairly, how the management was unfairly targeting Amy Goodman and was acting in an unprofessional manner toward the way, and the way it was dealing with Democracy Now. As you've probably heard, how our credentials, our press credentials were pulled, for the Democratic convention, in retribution because, Amy had, done an interview with Ralph Nader, on the floor of the Republican convention. And I criticized that decision of Garland Ganter, and I raised a number of issues about how I felt that Amy was being mistreated, by the network. Only, I'd say 2 weeks ago, this is after the Christmas coup, Steve Yasko was in New York City. He asked me to go out and have coffee with him. I spent over 2 hours explaining to him what I thought were my concerns and my problems. I made it clear to him that I thought that what had happened in New York was wrong, that the board, I felt, was not helping matters at all in the way since the conflict in Berkeley and the way it was handling matters, and that I felt that Amy was being mistreated by station managers. So I have made my position clear in writing, and in person to Steve Yasko. So they were aware that I was not happy with, the way things were going. Now, absolutely, they were surprised by my resignation, because number one is, I've been thinking about it really ever since what happened with this Christmas coup, because I believe that Bernard White and Sharan Harper have been very loyal employees and workers at WBAI, and that Valerie Van Isler, no matter what criticisms other people may have had of them of her, the only point at which Pacifica sought to move against her was when she was not doing their bidding, and that the process itself of them just coming in here and firing people was wrong. So I had made my position clear to them. Now I agonized over this question of whether I should just quit, and I actually had mentioned to Amy a couple of times that I was thinking of quitting, but she kept trying to persuade me not to, and I think she thought she had. But as I saw the fund drive coming on, and a few days ago I met with some other listeners and concerned people, and I told them that I was considering at the beginning, as all the stations got on fund drive, to begin to raise this issue and to resign and do what I could to help. So absolutely, they were surprised by my resignation, and I'm glad they were surprised because it gave me the opportunity to get that message out across the country. But they were not surprised, and they were very knowledgeable of my concern and my criticism of their practices.
Now, one of the other things, according to Jose Santiago, that Steve Yasko said is that he wishes you well in your future endeavors.
Yeah.
Now, one of those endeavors has to do with Pacifica. You want to, again, remind people what it is that that endeavor is?
Say that Jose Santiago, I've known Jose Santiago for more than 20 years when I was a reporter at the Philadelphia Daily News, and he was a reporter for the Channel 7 local affiliate there, and I have tremendous respect for Jose Santiago. Unfortunately, I think he's in a very bad bind, and he is a fence sitter right now on this issue. Even though he's opposed to the Pacifica board on the issue of what's happened in New York, he's pretty much adopted a fence sitting position. I hope that eventually he, and there are many good people at DAI who are afraid right now and who fear that the station will be destroyed if they openly battle the changes there. But I think that hopefully the people of good conscience throughout Pacifica will understand that there are times when you just have to take a stand, and in an effort to save Pacifica, we're not talking about destroying it, we're talking about saving it. But the only way sometimes you can save it is by cutting it. If there's a cancer, you've got to cut it out. And we have a cancer in the network, and it must be cut out.
All right. We're speaking with Juan Gonzalez today. Until this morning, he was also a Daily News columnist. Till this morning, he was the co-host of Democracy Now! Juan Gonzalez has decided that given the situation at Pacifica and the board, and would I be overstating the case? Because I've read those new proposed bylaws. If I said essentially what they allow the board to do is to call a meeting in a couple of days, and with about five of them present, they can make an arrangement to sell one or two of these stations. Not only can they sell them, but they can then make a profit for their sale.
Yes, I mean, that is totally possible. The wording is really classic legalese, but it basically says that a committee of the board, and I think it's the executive committee, as long as it's not selling the substantial majority of the assets, can conduct any kind of transaction, which means that technically they could define the sale of one station or even two stations as not substantially the assets of the corporation. And then there are all kinds of sections in there basically saying that it's okay for an interested party, which is a board member or a family member of a board, to be involved in a contract, a transaction, or even an equity stake in a firm that does business with Pacifica, so long as they disclose it to the board and they abstain personally from voting on it. But when you see the detail with which they go into the way that is legal, it's clear that something is being set up in advance to allow some kind of transaction to occur.
All right, Juan, tell us, if you will, about the national campaign and how people can join you in making sure that we don't lose this marvelous, scrappy alternative network.
Well, what we're talking about, and we will have a much more detailed public information on it by this weekend, because we have a few meetings over the weekend that we've got to basically get ourselves fully organized, although we've begun to do that, is a corporate campaign that would have two prongs. One prong would be to cut off as much as possible any donations to Pacifica, to the stations, and of course, because the board has now centralized so much of the finances, even if you give to any of the local stations, it all goes to the central office account, so that what we're hoping to do is cut off as much money as possible in this fund drive, and if necessary in the spring fund drive, understanding that one, Pacifica does not have deep pockets. It doesn't have a big endowment. The money that comes in is rapidly spent, and a lot of it now is being spent on lawyers' fees for Epstein Becker, on security guards, on PR consultants, on a variety of things that should not be spent on. So if we cut off the funds, that way we will limit the maneuverability, the ability of the board to maneuver. At the same time that we conduct a campaign against the individual ringleaders of this operation to make their day-to-day lives as difficult as possible, so that since they're not getting any major like stipends as a normal corporate board of directors would, they don't have a huge vested interest in staying on this board except for the potential payoff of the future. So that if we can cut off their funds while making their personal lives miserable and exposing them to ridicule and public scorn wherever they go, they will decide, as Mary Frances Berry did, that what they are losing by being on the Pacifica board is greater than what they could possibly gain. And hopefully, I believe we can drive them, the main culprits off the board, because really they don't have a whole lot of heart. You know, they have a lot of delusions of grandeur, but they don't have a lot of heart. And I believe that the listeners of Pacifica are far more committed, far more value the important role that this network plays in American society than these folks do, that we can drive them out.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Juan Gonzalez, former, for the moment, co-host of Democracy Now!, currently a Daily News columnist, terrific writer, has done some incredible work on the Vieques situation and on many, many other issues for people's working class people and poor people around this country. And we thank you for your courage and your action today in support of a free speech radio network.
Thank you, and my best to everybody out there at KPFA.
Thanks, Mom. Take care.